Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 28th of April, the last show of the month.
It's the last show of the month. We had only four this month, I think.
Yeah, only four. Last month we had five.
Right. So we're kind of in a good riddance mode for April. It was a good month for the markets. As a matter of fact, I think the markets are trying to really make sure that it is considered the best month since 1991 or something crazy like that. Like a 10.5% for the markets on the S&P 500.
Yeah, it's trying.
It's gotta do that. Let's talk about a few other things here. Let's talk about what's going on with oil again. We see the continuation of the plunge that's happening. Once again, we are seeing that oil clipped $10 a barrel for the next contract again yesterday, and then just started moving up again. So I think it's about 17 now. I think that was the last number that we...
The last that they have that on my list is 1344.
Yeah. All right. Well, one of the big things that happened there was that the commodity exchange is actually requesting a rollover to the next contract already early instead of waiting to the end of the month. What they're doing is...
Oh, nice trick.
Yeah. So they're moving it over early so there's no problems, you know, so they don't get into any trouble like they did last time, when there was that really nasty move to the negative side. Because the question is going to be, you know, if you're holding this right now, and if the baskets that trade that and the indices trade that, what's going to happen? So it's a big concern on them. So they changed the rules. You know what it is? It's like, what is that Jerry Lewis movie? It's if don't raise the bridges, lower the water.
Yeah, right. Or it's something like that.
Exactly what's going on here. Yeah. So
it's cheating, by the way, as far as I'm concerned. Well, but okay.
Of course. We are on
markets are supposed to be designed. That's what commodities and futures are all about. It's supposed to balance things out.
It's supposed to
work its way out of this. You're not supposed to change the rules.
Well, if the rules don't work, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, the rules haven't really been shown now. I mean, who says they don't work? They work. Give it another month, maybe. What is the rush?
Well, getting down to a negative $40 on the contract doesn't seem to say that the rules work.
Well, it's arguable. I think it's a good price, personally.
What, negative 40?
Yeah, I mean, that's a price I'd like to see. I mean, for me.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a few other things that we're going to be talking about today. Aside from that, markets ending the week last week on a pretty decent note after moving down in the early part of the week. Markets did finish off lower at the end of the week for the whole week, but the last couple of days were good. Carried it over into Monday. Today, it just kind of went wonky again. But we have a big week for earnings, economics this week. We have GDP coming out tomorrow. We have the FOMC discussion happening. We have another round of initial claims with another 2 million or so potential that we're going to see on the initial claims. And also we're going to see earnings from Facebook. We saw Google tonight. We have, I think, Microsoft this week, I think, is going to be also on. So a lot of things happening here and a lot of expectations.
Well, they'll keep the market buoyed up because Microsoft's not taking a hit over this thing.
Well, it's funny you mention that because Microsoft and Google and Amazon and you name the other ones, you know, the group that I'm talking about have been holding up the market. If you look at the market itself and you look at the differential between the market cap weighted market and the equal market or the equally weighted market, the problem is that you have a situation where the runaways are the big ones, the safety trades, the big names that really did very well. And what the problem of that is that it's distorting the actual performance of the markets. So I don't know if that's a problem, but I got a chart to show you in a little while. That's going to make you.
I don't know. It depends on what you mean by a problem. I think it's giving people the wrong impression.
Right. Exactly. It is not, indicative of really what's happening when the Qs, the NASDAQ 100, is up for the year.
Yeah. It's ludicrous.
Yeah. So let's see what else we got here. It seems that we have a new thing just to kind of pass this by. If you haven't heard, bright lights and injections of detergent seem to be stamping out the coronavirus. Or at least there is the potential for us to review that. And there's also another review I'll tell you in a little while. There's another study, a series, that's of course kidding, but there's another study going on right now of another potential treatment for the coronavirus that you're going to, I think you're going to find kind of funny. So, okay, some of the things that are happening in the markets, we're going to see some capital calls potentially and bond triggers some of the internal mechanisms inside of companies, whereas if they don't have enough assets on the books or they are showing that revenues are down or their capitalization is not quite right, one of the problems you're going to have is that they could trigger some of the covenants inside of the bonds and then the bonds become callable. And that's a potential problem.
Well, right? That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I know when things were getting really wonky, when there was a level of bonds that were dropping just off a cliff before the Fed came in and said, you know, hey, we'll back it all, right? Before that, what happened was that we saw that companies, and I know a few people at certain companies, they were putting their staff on the process of looking for the covenants and find out what would call those into question. What would be the triggers that would happen here? And they were scrambling around pretty good. And I think that because of the fact that we saw, it could be like a ratings drop, but because we saw that there was a big push by the Fed and the Fed decided to buy corporates and munis and all that, a lot of that was laid to rest. The good news is that that kind of played out and they're not as worried anymore. Now, unless we have a redo, you know, a part two of this whole thing where all of a sudden the bonds are taken down again and maybe even if it goes a little bit longer. So you have some bond issues out there.
Well, of course, this has been predicted forever, but no one has this scenario. No one can credit themselves with this scenario being the culprit.
Right, because this was just out of the blue, something. But if it wasn't this, it would have been something else eventually.
Yeah, eventually, but it had to be something.
Right, something severe.
Might as well be this.
Right, exactly.
Because actually, this is a better way because this is the one when things like this come along and it kind of fits, but it you know, it kind of pushes us into a pattern that was predictable.
Right.
You can always write it off as you can rationalize it. Oh, well, if it wasn't for that, right, it was a fluke. So you can go right back into your old way of thinking.
The problem with this is it's not a slow motion process that, you know, in the past we've seen recessions or financial crises that you could kind of see what was going on. And if you look back in time, oh yeah, things were getting frothy. There was a lot of risk and excess risk being taken. And there was a speculation that was going on, all this that was happening. And you can kind of go backwards and map out and remap where this was all coming from. This is just out of the blue. It just happened.
Yeah.
So that's where the problems come in. That's why it's so severe. But at the same time, even though we are in this head deep right now, it seems that several states are starting to open up ahead of the quote unquote advised timing.
Right, Georgia being the first.
Georgia's unbelievable. I have that down the list a little bit. That is unbelievable what's going on there. You got to explain this to me. I have a theory, the dirty little secret here. But tell me who was in charge of saying that bowling alleys, they call them massage therapists, tattoo parlors, hair salons, manicures and pedicure who thought of this as the first places that should be opening up again? Does that make any sense to you?
Somebody, yeah, well, it does if I was a guy loaded with tattoos, but no, it doesn't make any sense. But this, I don't know how they came to this list.
Are they thinking that people need to do some kind of either self-mutilation or they need to recolor or
bowling places. Seems to be something you don't have to bump into people. You know, I think that might be okay.
Yeah, because your fingers in the used ball.
Oh, you bring your own ball.
Okay.
Oh, you know, they got sprays. They spray the shoes. They spray the balls. You know, they probably spray the balls a lot in a good bowling alley.
Yeah, but the professionals, you know, they spit in their balls. Right or wrong? They pick up the ball. Well, they kind of do it around on the towel. Then they kind of.
Professionals don't spit in their balls. There's a lot of clips. Okay, whoever gets all these clips, you know, congratulations.
Didn't you ever see that? Didn't you ever see where they take the ball and they either breathe into it or spit into it?
I've seen guys get a little moisture by breathing heavy into
their balls. That's what you're trying to say.
I've stopped with the potential of having to listen to these clips over and over.
Yeah. Well,
I think bowling's fine.
What do you think is the real reason why Georgia is opening up? Ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I think the governor of Georgia is skeptical of the whole thing. The weather isn't inducive towards the coronavirus. It's nice that it's warmer down there. I think he's just a skeptical guy, and he's looking at what's happening like in places like Sweden. And he's saying, you know, we can't sink our economy in this state. Let the other states do that, and we'll come out ahead in this game. And, you know, I think they have a lot of companies some car companies down there, some other things. I'm not sure what their, you know, what their main businesses are anymore. But
so let me tell you my thesis.
It's a very high tech state.
Let me tell you my thesis on this. And let me tell you as I see it, the dirty little secret that really hasn't been pushed out there. I talked about this week on the Disciplined Investor podcast, but here's the deal. So Georgia started the beginning of this year, they started with an unemployment compensation fund at $2.6 billion. Over the last several weeks, they paid out about $600 million up until last week. So I think that was about 3 weeks or so. So they're paying about $150 to $200 million per week out with nothing coming in because nobody's working. Nobody's working and there's no payrolls or a lot less. Not enough money comes in. And as such, the unemployment compensation fund would run out. And that was a big problem. In addition to that, besides the unemployment compensation fund, the state is not getting their income, state income tax from sales tax. 4.9%, I believe, is the income tax or the sales tax, I should say, in Georgia. They're not getting that either. And their governmental structure is really suffering. And on the heels of not only Mitch McConnell, but also then Treasury Secretary Mnuchin saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to bail out states that didn't really do a good job with their budgets to begin with.
Well, this remains to be seen because the states that really do a crappy job with their budget to begin with are New York, yes, which has no interest in doing anything like this, and Illinois, and I think probably Oregon.
Well,
Illinois for sure, and also New York. New York State, probably New Jersey.
It's very clear that New York – I think they talked about it tonight. It's not going to open up until the end of May at least. Maybe upstate New York, some places.
The whole state's going to fold.
I mean, it's a big problem. They're billions in the hole. They're about 10% of the overall GDP of our entire economy.
Yeah, well, if people don't think that's going to have an impact, I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah. Let's circle back. I want to talk about oil for a second. Let's get back to that for a minute here. Before we do that, did you see the Twitter stream, the replay on Periscope?
Yeah, it's good.
You like it?
I mean, it's okay. I mean, I'm not a big fan of these videos for this sort of information shows. I think this is distracting, to be honest about it.
All right. Just another medium to get us out there, you know, to add to our hundreds of thousands of listeners or however many there are. But
there's probably hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Well, I'm cutting in.
They don't support us very well, but there's probably hundreds of thousands.
I did have the opportunity to cut into the stream tonight some of the charts that we're going to talk about so we can see those live on the stream. I want to talk about oil for a second. Several of the oil ETFs out there that were like leveraged are having trouble as the prices are moving, you know, pretty violently all around. USO has changed their structure. I don't think we talked about this last week. USO, the probably the most commonly used crude oil ETF, changed their structure. Instead of investing in the front month only, they actually, and then I think they would cut it and roll it 2 weeks before the expiration of the contract. What they did is they're going to be investing over multiple maturities. So let's just call it June. They'll have some in as the next in the current month, and they'll have the forward month.
You know,
and the
one this seems like a nightmare investment.
Nightmare. I don't know why anybody, it's broken. It's absolutely broken. I don't know anybody will.
I don't know why anyone would put a nickel into these things.
Oil, OIL. I don't know. I should look at it today. Yesterday I looked at it. I couldn't get a quote, which means I guess it's out of business. Another well-known oil ETF. And so pretty big problems with that. All right. So now I want to see if I can do this. I want you to look at this next chart. This is, we talked about the market cap, right? We talked about the idea that there is the big stocks out there. The largest of the large are leading the charge in terms of the movement of the markets, right?
Yes. Wasn't this chart on the, did you post this before someplace like on Twitter or something? Because I've seen this chart.
I may have. What's interesting.
It's kind of an indictment of the system.
Yeah. Now let me just clarify what this is to be very clear. Cause when I first looked at this, I'm like, that doesn't look right. Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft are 50% of the S&P 500. I don't think so. They're like 22%, 23%, which is still a lot. What this chart is the comparison of the largest, five stocks to they're the equivalent market capitalization to the bottom 350 stocks.
Yeah.
So now there's a range, of course, from there's 500 stocks in there. So there's the 100 and the mid caps. The mid caps are not in here. But just to show how ludicrous this is, you can have a 1% move on each of these, right? 1% move on each of these. If nothing happens with the bottom half, or if they all go down 1%, you're even for the day.
Yeah. 350 stocks down, one stock up 1%. Boom.
Crazy. Even. Absolutely insane. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to look at. The other thing is that I want to kind of go through is the current PE, the current price earnings.
Yeah. You're going to have to explain this one to me.
So let me kind of bring that up. So the PE on, I got this going. I got all this stuff going on pretty well right now. I'm clicking buttons. Things are happening pretty well. Just
Sounds like it. Yeah.
It's not easy, especially with a foot that is aching me. I did something yesterday that just racked my foot, and
What'd you do?
I have no idea.
You don't know what happened?
No, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I woke up this morning like, my big toe hurts pretty
good. Maybe you have a big toe. You maybe have gout. What did you drink?
I was thinking that. The only thing I had different than the last few days was some red licorice. But I don't think that.
Red licorice doesn't sound like something that would trigger a bout of gout. You drank something you drank something.
Really? I don't know.
An alcohol, yeah.
I haven't drank, and I had a beer the other day, but that's it. I think
you didn't have a whiskey or a bourbon or something.
No, I think I bent my toes wrong.
It sounds like gout.
Let me tell you, it hurts. I mean, it hurts.
I know what gout feels like. It's very painful.
Oh, so I'm sitting here.
You have to identify the cause as fast as you can.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can sleep it off tonight. I have like 22 Advils in me today. But anyway, this chart,
that's what's causing it.
Oh, possibly. So yeah, thanks. The chat room says I got COVID foot. Very nice. Very nice.
COVID foot.
So this chart that we're looking at right now is looking at the forward PE ratios for the S&P 500. Now, I just want you to take this in for a second.
I'm looking at it. It's a fascinating chart. I never thought to put this one together.
If you look back to 2006, the beginning of 2006, we're seeing that we've ranged from, let's take out where we are right now, but we ranged from about 15, 16 down to about 9. And look at 9. Look at 2009, 2008, 2009. That's, as I've been talking about, where you're supposed to have a PE, usually during a recessionary period, kind of in the 10, 11, if it gets really bad, Then it goes up, it comes down, and kind of all the way through about 2013, we'll call it. It's kind of stayed in the 15 and a half range. you know, between those ranges.
It skyrockets.
Then it skyrockets. Now it comes down at the end of 2018 when we had that big sell-off in December, down to the level of about, what, 14. It was a temporary blip. Then it just rides back up, and it was 19. Okay, now this is on forward. This is on forward earnings, meaning the thought that stocks are really going to do unbelievably well.
Okay? Yes.
So this is on those levels. And when you look at that and when you think about what we have there is, okay, you know what? We didn't really have a recessionary period. We didn't think there was going to be a recession. All right, stocks were doing well, a couple of blips here and there. But then once again, take a look at the fact that where we are is not only high, we're higher than we've been since way back, going back to 2006. We're at 19.7 on a forward PE, depending on, this is a conservative number too. This is assuming about $148 per share of earnings in 2020 for the S&P 500, which means it's only a cut of about 15% of earnings for the year compared to last year and where we thought we'd be. So I find this to be terrifying.
Ludicrous is what I'd think.
I mean, even though rates are down to zero, I get that. Who in their right mind is going to be bidding up stocks at these levels during what's about to be and about to be reported one of the worst recessions that we've had in history, albeit possibly temporary? Makes no sense.
Well, I was listening to some talk radio today, and these guys are going on and on. Some guy came in with some complaint that we're going into a massive depression. Could be worse than the Great Depression, he goes on. The guy on the radio, says, no, bull. He says, look at the market. The market knows what it's doing. We're going to have a boom, a huge boom once this thing blows over. Everything is going to be fabulous. And then you still have the guys with their check mark. Oh, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a V recovery. Tim Cook just said that recently, according to Trump. So everybody's either delusional.
Yes.
What? Yeah.
I think there is the chance for a recovery. Is there a chance if everything goes just right, right? If the virus continues to die down, if we open up the states and we don't have another spike, and the continuation of the opening goes very smoothly, each of the various phases all the way through the opportunity to be, I guess, at a sports event back in season again.
I don't see this.
I don't see it either. I don't see it.
That would be a V recovery. Going back to sporting events, they've been talked out of it.
Yeah, I don't see it. And then going back to movie theaters, going on cruises, going traveling.
Not happening.
Already, JetBlue tonight was asking for, and I think it was Delta. I don't remember who it was. There was a couple of planes that are shuffling around one or two people. That's it. Back from Memphis, I think there's a flight that just takes one person back and forth from Memphis somewhere. The JetBlue is trying to shut down Chicago, a few other hubs. They said they're losing money left and right.
Oh yeah, this has got to be a disaster for the airlines.
Yeah, this.
But I will, and I don't see the recovery. Just all of a sudden, people going from wearing masks, being really skittish, not walking 6 feet away from you when they're in the right middle of the street, right outside, to going and then getting into a giant stadium full of people and start yelling and screaming and jumping on an airplane and traveling all over the world. What kind of an insane concept is this? No one's going to do that.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know what these people have and what they've been drinking, what they've been doing. You know, we have, don't forget, there's a lot of these, what do they call them? Virus non-believers? What are we calling this? You know, the people that just don't believe this is, my sister.
No, she's a skeptic. She's a virus skeptic? Your sister?
My sister.
So she doesn't think this thing even exists.
My sister is, she has never been involved in politics, never took an interest, never participated in any business issues, whatever, in all of her life, for 50 years. Trump gets elected, all of a sudden, she is the biggest Republican that you've ever met in your life. Everything that he says is absolute. Everything that is said by somebody else is a lie.
Huh.
Everything.
You have a funny Jewish family.
It's very weird. So, you know, one time I was talking to her about something and she looks at me and I don't know, we're talking about some minor topic. And she looks at me and she goes, oh, you know what? You get your information from those fake news like the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. And I said, what? I said, first of all, have you ever read the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal to even think that they're fake news? I mean, fake news is the Weekly World Report. You know what I'm talking about? Those or some of these or The Onion. That's clearly fake news, right? Now, there may be some biases in all these other places, but she's like, you know, Fox News is the only one that gives you facts. The rest of them are lies. Fox
News is no better than any of them.
Right. Everybody else is lying. And recently she said, and my parents called me.
How come she's not a no agenda show listener? We can straighten her out.
Well, maybe. I mean, it's unbelievable how she said this week that this is a conspiracy to get Trump out of office. I said, okay. I'm not, what am I going to do? How do you argue with that? There's no way to argue.
I don't know. I kind of think there's a lot of, effort to keep this thing going as long as they can so they can get Trump out of office. They'd love to get Trump out of office.
I agree with you there. It seems to me that the constant discussion on CNN from Wolf Blitzer. So now he doesn't, there was a time that he would say to everybody that came on a show, is that impeachable? Is that, do you think that's impeachable? It was for weeks at a time. I was like, you know, I'd go thumb through the things. And every time I'd click on CNN, if it wasn't a commercial, it would be, is that impeachable? Do you think that's impeachable? Every single time. Now he's coming up with, well, wait a minute. Trump said that there was testing for everybody, anybody that wants it. They keep playing that clip from 2 months ago. And then they're like, is there? No. Okay. We got the point that something's not right with the testing. We get it. I get it. You know, we can't just test two people and say that we have a full test going on. But I don't know, some of this is just crazy.
They're testing plenty of people. Yeah. They have a test thing in Berkeley. I drove by it.
Did you?
It was like a drive-through testing thing in Berkeley.
Are you going to go do it?
There wasn't anybody in line whatsoever.
Nobody.
And nobody. Mm. There wasn't one car. And so why am I going to go do it?
Just you know. But what do you mean for the boots on the ground kind of research?
I think it's the test where they shove that damn thing down your throat.
Oh, not up your nose and around your nasal cavity?
Yeah, that thing. Ugh. I could go and ask them what they do, and then maybe I'll get
a test. I think you should.
There's nobody there.
Yeah. Now back to the states for a second here. There is now a plea from New York. You mentioned this earlier that New York is in really big trouble, right? So New York needs $7.4 billion in federal aid to offset the losses from the coronavirus. So Mayor Bill de Blasio said on Sunday that he's urging Donald Trump, President Trump, to push his fellow Republicans to back more relief funding for the states and cities. Are we at a point that we just can't let any good crisis go to waste and therefore everybody gets a bailout? Is that where we are at this point?
That's what I'd be doing.
I guess. It doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Yeah. Hey, can I borrow $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion?
Right. I promise to pay you back. Promise. I'll do it. Earnings reports. Okay.
By the way, I'm still looking at this P.E. ratio chart.
Can't take your eyes off of that, huh?
It's like a picture of insanity. It's a graph of insanity.
I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me at all for so many reasons.
Well, it's a selling opportunity, as they'd like to say.
Yep. So I want to kind of switch over to something else. And I want to do this as a joint effort, you and I. And I want to look at the whole idea of earnings reports, and particularly very timely, came out tonight, the Google earnings, and markets rejoiced, pushed Google up 8% after hours. Pretty good. That's going to push up the NASDAQ tomorrow, unless something else goes a little bit sideways. And I want to do this with you. I want you to take a look at this. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this together. Anybody that's watching this at the same time, the words are on the screen right now. Okay. The one that says Mountain View, California. You see that? April 28th, 2020. Underneath important earnings reports. See that?
I'm looking.
It's below
the... How far down is this thing?
Yeah, it's good. Not too far. It's halfway. A couple of points below the PE chart.
Okay, go to the PE chart. How's this works?
Nope.
States the real reason. Important earnings report.
Yeah,
is that
right
it?
There, oh, right Mountain.
Yep. Okay, I got it.
All right, here's what it says. Ready? We're going to do this. Alphabet, Google, today announced financial results. You're gonna do the bold. For the quarter ending...
March 31st, 2020.
So let's get this clear. The financial results that they put in were through March 31st, 2020. This is a problem because we're getting all these earnings reports, right? We're getting all these earnings reports that are coming in. And these earnings reports are basically to the edge, just to the edge of what the stay-at-home orders came in.
Right? More or less, yes.
Right. So when we're rejoicing that they did well for the quarter, better than we expected, and a lot of people were worried about what was going to happen, it's not taking consideration a lot of the downturn that happened. Some of the downturn's in there, but what's interesting is March 17th was the first stay-at-home order for any state in the United States. That was San Francisco, by the way. And that was the first one that was put into place. March 17th, this report only covers us through March 31st. So, and then a lot of these companies, what they're doing also is now they're pulling the rest of the year guidance. So it's
for
really
good reason.
Yeah. And for very good reason, because now they know that, hey, listen, the market's going to give us a buy on this. They're going to let us go. We know everybody's got a big problem here. And what's going to happen is that we're going to see a lot of opaqueness. We're not going to see, I guess. It's very opaque, this whole process right now. So you have to be really careful when you're looking at the earnings reports, because they may consider it second quarter because every company has their different dates out there. But the big issue here is you need to know when this ended. So now that Google came in and they missed, by the way, they did okay on earnings, but there was a major rollover towards the end of the month, much greater than was anticipated. And they cheered it because, you know, it wasn't so bad. But you know what?
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I do wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. If, in fact, there's going to be a, you know, an issue with regard to how there is the reception of this fact, because it's going to be taken by the institutional investors a lot differently than the overnight investors post earnings. I wouldn't be surprised if it started to come in a little bit when you dig through all the numbers and the fact that a lot of areas of like YouTube was down, engagement was down. And even though Ruth Porat said, hey, you know what? It got a little bit better. It got a little bit better into April. Well, how do we fight that? Because they're not putting out guidance, or they're not, you know, we're going to have this period that maybe if we get back to work and if businesses start to advertise again in, let's say, late April, May, and into June, we'll cover that back up. It'll all clean up towards the end. So right now we can pretty much say whatever we want to keep stuff elevated. Be very careful.
Well, these advertisers are going to, they're doing a lot more granular analysis now. I mean, I know at least one group of guys, that unless you have solid numbers and you can prove that you're going to make these people money. The only advertising that's still a sure thing seems to be medical ads on network television.
Oh, hate those. Oh, this. I was listening to one recently and it was like something like, you know, be aware if you have like bleeding from your anus. And I was like, what? That's a side effect from this drug? That's not good.
Seriously. It's unbelievable. And some of these drugs are for like, some of these drugs are to save you from being killed by one of the other drugs.
Right. Which leads us into the next point here about Gilead. You know, there's a big hoop to do about, we may have some kind of treatment. We may have some kind of something from Gilead. And the name of the drug is Remdesivir.
Yeah, I thought that's already been kicked off the schedule.
Well, here's how it went. I want to go through this because I think it's really interesting. It's one. It's markets 101 all over again, especially in a time of uncertainty and people being concerned. First, they come out with a small trial from Chicago. 125 people came through it. Supposedly, they got off the ventilators faster. Supposedly, they broke their fevers faster. Two people died. Again, mortality rate not too far from what it is otherwise. Then all of a sudden, there's a markets go up, right? There was a, everything goes crazy. Oh my God, there's a treatment. It's going to work. And markets go crazy. It was like up 700 points that day, the Dow. A few days later, maybe exactly a week later, there's a study that somehow gets posted on the WHO site. It's from China. They say, well, it doesn't work, shows no material benefits at all. Immediately, they're told to take it down. And then the entire PR team descends upon network media and the news wires that no, it wasn't good. There wasn't enough people. It wasn't statistically significant. Well, no kidding. Neither was the other one, by the way, right? So what we have here is a situation where they wanted both sides, right? Now, Gilead comes out this week and says, well, you know, our study is now running ahead of schedule, whatever that means. Markets go up. Japan says this week that they think they're going to approve this drug in May for treatment of the coronavirus. Now, I don't know how they're going to do that if it doesn't go through all the process to see if it is, in fact, viable. Markets go up.
Brother. Pfizer, nightmare.
Pfizer now has a vaccine. They said they believe the COVID-19 vaccine could be ready for emergency use by fall. Now, listen, again, pay attention to the small print here. It's going to be ready for emergency use. In other words, that's code for if there's nothing else that can help somebody, we'll give them this. And if it doesn't work, well, what's the big deal
how
anyway?
How is that a vaccine? Vaccines are preventative. They're not given. You don't take a flu vaccine while you have the flu.
Maybe they're using it as the word of the way that you take this intravenously or a shot.
What vaccine works that way?
I'm telling you, this is what I'm talking about. It's nutty out there. Right?
Well, it's just, I guess they want to jack the price of their stock up.
Right.
I mean, somebody's doing virtually pump and dump, but somebody's playing some stock numbers here. I'm sure of it.
I would
offshore
agree.
Account, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Then now to finish up this whole discussion about the potential for treatments, all of a sudden, big news today, Pepcid is being tested as a medication for the treatment of COVID-19.
What?
Yep, not kidding.
Seriously. I'm going back to Tito's.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Now, it's not, you're not necessarily going to the store and buying Pepcid and just taking a bunch of stuff. It's 9 times the dose of whatever the particular active ingredient is inside of Pepcid, and they're testing this. They need like, I think 600.
Maybe people are getting bloated or something when they get the COVID. The Pepcid helps.
Acid reflux from it somehow.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I got the agita. Right. So this is what's going on. I mean, it's become a rather crazy time, and people just running around, and obviously everybody is all excited about trying to, you know, bring up the value of either stock or make a splash somehow. So Apple's delaying the production ramp for the 2020 iPhones by a month due to, of course, the coronavirus. Stock's up 13% off the, for the year, off the highs for the year. So there you go. A lot of stuff here related to coronavirus. Cats. You're a big cat guy. Cats can carry the coronavirus.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that on the No Agenda show every Thursday.
Well, every Thursday and Sundays, 12 o'clock, Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, noagendastream.com. Got to check it out. Of course, sign up for the newsletter. How does somebody sign up for the newsletter?
You can go, if you go to noagendashow.com, noagendashow.com, all one word, and you go on the left-hand column and you start going, scrolling down, you'll see there's a newsletter sign-up box. You just click on that and then you can sign up.
Gotcha. So the thing is, I did a little research and I found that the states with the highest level of population of cats. It's first is Maine. Vermont has 50% of the households have cats. 50%.
They must have a lot of mice in that state.
Maybe. Wyoming, Washington, West Virginia, Oregon, and Montana.
Huh.
There you go.
I would think California would be. I guess California's dogs. Oregon makes sense.
Facebook coming out with Messenger Rooms, which is a direct competitor. Well, they say it is. It's not really. To like Zoom and WebEx and all that. Company says now it has video conferencing.
Johnny come lately.
Yeah, for up to 50 people at a time in Messenger Rooms. Zoom was down like 8% on this news and then started climbing back up. And they copied some of the features from House Party and Zoom. So is this a game changer for video conferencing? In business, can you imagine if I said to somebody, hey, come to my personal Facebook page and let's do a chat? That's not happening.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No. Not only that.
Seems unprofessional.
Not only that, would you want to put anything professional on a Facebook server?
I don't think so, because they never erase anything, and they're not trustworthy.
Yeah. Wuhan province, the number of infections is below 50 for the first time since the crisis began last year. And no new confirmed cases in the province for more than 20 days. So how is it that the epicenter of where this started was pretty much spared? And we keep on coming up. Last Friday, just a few days ago, with all these states opening up, guess what? We had the highest new case count in the United States of any time in the past. Friday, just last
Friday. Maybe it's the peak.
Maybe it's the peak, but how did we get saddled with this so badly? And Wuhan seemingly has none. I think there's two options. They got to it early and snuffed it out, or they lie. I think I know your answer.
Well, the Chinese lying is always a possibility. So let's go with that.
Okay, go with B. Drones, UPS and CVS are teaming up. They're going to be using drones to deliver prescription medicines from a CVS pharmacy to the villages. This is the Florida's neighborhood of people over, I think, 55, which also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that community has the highest level of sexual transmitted diseases. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
That's an interesting factoid.
Yeah. So the service is going to use these Matternet's M2 drone systems. So they're just going to start with this area. They got some kind of Federal Aviation Administration.
So you're telling me that there's a big area of old farts in Florida, of course, which is most of Florida, I guess.
Right.
And not one of them has a shotgun or anything that wants to take one of these drones out of the sky just as a target practice?
I guess. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. Dividends. Companies are starting to drop their dividends, cut their dividends. GM is the latest one to drop and cut and suspend their dividend. And one of the things that's interesting is that the S&P relies on about 3% of its growth on an annual basis from dividends. So that's going to cut back also. And that goes back to our whole chart, the PE chart. Like, why are you paying up if companies are cutting their dividends?
It makes zero sense.
I know.
That PE chart is disconcerting.
Yep, it is. It is. Let's see if I can pull it up again here. PE chart. This one. Nope, that's not it. There you go. What else do we got here? Let's see. That's not it either. There it is. Got it. Okay. Jeffrey Gundlach, who is the new Bond King, maybe he's the Bond Prince. He came up with some comments yesterday. He was on a show, and he said that he feels that the Fed is blatantly violating Federal Reserve Act of 1913, buying corporate bonds by a sleight of hand. So they're not really supposed to be doing that. He said that the markets have recovered due to the Fed, suggests that the market's looking quite tired these days. He tried to, time for aggressiveness was March 23rd, not April 27th. He's talking about some of the benefits. It's really not enough. He believes that we're going to be retesting, taking out the low is not a question. It's a potential thing. And the corporate bond fund or ETF LQD is overvalued as a bond asset. So that's a couple of things that he talked about there. Let's see. Meat shortage.
Day of reckoning is what he's talking about.
Well, he's a bond guy, so I'm not sure how that really plays, but I think there is some significance to this. There's a meat shortage. Have you seen that Tyson is shutting down a bunch of his plants? Although there's some plan for this. And Smithfield. So there's going to be a shortage.
Well, Smithfield's having some issues. It is maybe political.
They're owned by the Chinese.
Yeah.
But now chickens.
Trump apparently is putting an executive order in place to make sure these places stay open.
But is that a good idea? I mean, is it transmissible if they have it and they put it somehow in the food and it gets into the system if it's not frozen or something?
Well, hopefully they're all wearing gloves. They all have masks. And I've seen these facilities. They're covered in scrubs, basically. Right. And it's mostly automated. You know, these chickens go flying down the thing there and just get chopped up by these various flying knives. And you cook it.
Yeah.
I mean, people are already freaked out about even doing anything with raw chicken. Oh, my God, if you're going to all die because of salmonella. So I think it's okay.
Well, I would agree with you. And there is a concern about this. I personally went to Restaurant Depot about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I picked up 40 pounds of chicken for $1.10 a pound, by the way. And I put that in the freezer. So just in case I needed it through this whole.
You have a lot of chicken now.
A lot of chicken. But we've also got, I'll tell you what we picked up last week. We picked up 2 giant packs of short ribs, did a 16-hour smoke on them. I can't even describe how unbelievable they were. This week we had we had spare ribs and we had St. Louis ribs, and next week is brisket.
Brisket.
Yeah, we've been eating pretty well. so
big freezers come in handy.
Yeah. I want to mention that, by the way, if you enjoy the show, go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the little donate button there and send us a couple of shekels. It is much appreciated. It's necessary. It's part of the process. It brings you a lot of, I think, you know, being part of this, it brings you closer to the whole thing. And, you know, we're a family. We're a family that helps out each other. So it's a good thing, and it's a smart thing, and it's an appreciated thing to donate to DH Unplugged. Whatever you can, whether it's your stimulus check or if it's just a couple of bucks per week, it's much appreciated. All right, what do we got next here?
Indeed.
Back to tattooing here. Oh, I found this story. This guy, Chris Woodhead, has, you know, he's been pretty, I guess, depressed maybe as he's, you know, shackled into his apartment. So he's doing a new tattoo on his body every day of the lockdown. Every day. Does a new
he's doesn't, just doing it himself. He's got like a tattoo needle there.
I guess.
Is he a tattooist?
I don't know, but he says, there is little left on his skin from the tip of his fingertips to the soles of his feet. Almost every inch is covered. That's an interesting thing too. If he's doing his own tattoos, and let's say he's a righty, so I could see him doing some tattoos on his left arm. But what if he's now wants to do something like make a design on his right arm? You can't write with your other hand.
Not necessarily. Maybe he can.
Maybe he can. I think it's self-mutilation to deal with a lockdown. That's what I think.
It's totally self-mutilation.
Yeah. On the lighter side of what happens during lockdowns, it seems that in Belgium, it's a mass request to go out and eat French fries. Frites.
It's what? It's a request to go eat them? Don't they just eat them all the time anyway?
They do, but there's a 750,000-ton potato surplus.
Oh, they got to start eating some French fries.
So they eat it with
frites,
mayonnaise, and mussels. There you go with that. All right. Yeah. We have some limericks. I'm going to go through them, a couple of these. There's one of them I want to start. I want to start at the bottom, though, because somebody kind of put it to me pretty well here. And we ask you in the chat room and anywhere else if you want to grade these as we go along. I got to get my piece of paper out and my pen and write this down. But basically, if you want to send in your own Fed limerick, spend some time crafting it. And you can send it into dhemail@dhunplugged.com. All right. So the first one is from Ed Bonnyman. Maybe it's Bonnyman.
Yes. This is an interesting limerick. Right. He's got the right idea.
Yeah. So let me take a little swig of the Propel. Make sure I do this right, and you'll understand why after I read it that I'm trying to get this right. Here it goes. Horowitz's reading of limericks is shit. He will never learn even a bit. Some of them are fine, and this opinion is mine. He should find someone else, maybe John, to do it.
Yes.
I read it correctly. Would we agree I read it correctly?
I think so.
Okay.
I would give this, this was a good limerick right to the last line.
Yeah, last line was crap.
And so he's got the last line is twice as long as the line before. And every, you know, it just, if he actually let, maybe if he took the maybe John out. So in this opinion is mine, he should find someone else to do it.
Yeah, that would be fine.
That would have improved it by a lot.
Right.
He had to put that in there for some, he felt good about it. Horowitz reading the lyrics shit in there reading a bit. Shit, bit hit. To do it, I think if you used hit or skit or anything that has something to do it, I think to do it's a mistake. He's got that he screwed it up. So I'm going to give him a B minus.
B minus. All right, let's go back to the top here. I got one more. This one's from El Bravo. A virus named COVID did visit. Who was after wasn't explicit. The pundits did wait that the markets would fail.
No, the pundits did wail.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. My monitor is pretty far away. I'm starting again. A virus named COVID did visit. Who it was after wasn't explicit. The pundits did wail that the markets would fail, and the press Christ Trump was complicit. These are not easy to read.
Well, no, you should maybe print them out and in like 18-point type and read them from a piece of paper.
Yeah. I should practice, but I have time to do this.
A virus named COVID. You know, it's almost something. It just, it doesn't hold together. It just, I can't give it, I'll give it some credit for what he's trying. I know what he's trying to do. I'll give it a B minus, another B minus.
Okay. So I'm going to end on that note. And while we're at this, this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discussed in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. All right. So, why don't you take the list? The list is actually streaming.
Well, we got the same. We got our tracking stocks that are still up there, except one of them's losing money and one of them's doing well. So we're kind of, I think, in the middle. We're ahead of the game with those three stocks, which included Allied Healthcare Products, which is not doing well. Becton Dickinson, the company that makes instruments, they're doing fine. They're up 10%. Medtronic, of course, which is the stock that always does well before a crash. And then we have everything else in this other idea of yours, which is Service Corp, which is a funeral caskets, is dead money. So that's going nowhere. And then you're here we go again.
Here we go again.
Somebody shorted Facebook once again, hoping for the best. And it got kicked off this thing and lost 8%.
Can't do it.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yep.
And then I think this must have been mine, Mersana Therapeutics. It was a COVID play with 20% leeway. It's pretty much, it's down 6%, but that's okay. And then your latest pick, Flair, whatever, a fever company, a detection, another instrument. It's kind of an instruments play, and that's up a little bit.
Yep.
You have nothing for this week, but I have something.
What do you have?
Now, I wanted to, you know, I'm itching like you are, apparently, to short something.
Okay.
But of course, that PE thing you showed me, or everybody, you showed everyone, it was really should be dissuasive, seems to me, for anyone thinking they're going to get away with shorting anything. Because you're going to, I'm just going to get burned. I think eventually, I think there's some real opportunities coming, but they're not coming now, at least from what, at least from the way I see these. But I do like the idea what you tried there with the, with Fleur and some of these other things. I'm going with AXDX.
AXDX, which is, let's see, Accelerate Diagnostics, Inc.
Yeah, and I'm this is an insider thing. One of the directors is buying the stock, and I don't know this stock, and I just discovered it, and it's a diagnostic company that's going to be right in this fray of things. I think this is a winner.
Okay, somebody said it's a night vision company. They do night vision, I guess.
Well, that's good too.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I like it. I like it. What else do you have to talk about? Let's see. We talked about No Agenda, which is pretty cool. Of course, everybody needs to sign up for the newsletter and listen in on Thursdays and on Sundays at 12 o'clock. Had a good show this weekend on the Disciplined Investor. Talked about a lot of topics that a lot of people were interested in. Got some things in from people. We had also a Monday and Wednesday webinars. If anybody's interested there, we're doing a 4:30 pop-up Q&A webinar. So you can check that out over the DisciplinedInvestor.com. What else?
Pop-up webinar.
Yeah, what else are you pumping?
Really nothing. I'm just working. I mean, we're No Agenda's doing getting a lot of attention from our giant audience for our coverage of the coronavirus.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because we get, there's a lot of stuff to keep. I mean, the media is kind of obsessed with it right now, and so it's kind of easy to pick on them, which is what we're doing.
So I'll tell you something I did this week, and I want to share this with everybody as a feel-good, do something for others kind of thing. So there's a gentleman in my community, we'll call it, in the area, that has been gathering the names of people in need, families that, you know, maybe don't have a job, maybe even didn't have a job, but were getting by, doing their thing. And he gave me the name of somebody this week, which was a woman and her three kids, and they were in desperate need of food, and they just didn't have any way to really get anything. So I went out and I shopped yesterday, and I filled up an entire basket full of stuff. I called her and said, like, you know, are you allergic to something? What, you know, how old are your kids? And what do they eat? So I filled up an entire basket and just brought it to her house. And I got to tell you something, she was so appreciative and really kind of went a long way. She probably has food for her family for a good week or so. I mean, it was a lot of stuff. And kind of was made me feel good too that I was doing something in this.
No, it's something everyone should, if you have an opportunity to do stuff like that, you should definitely do it.
Yeah. So just something that you could do, and you could probably find out in your community, ask your friends, various places around. There's a lot of places that are looking for it. But I mean, I feel more comfortable about doing that than I would at just giving to some particular charity that I don't know exactly where the money goes to.
Yeah. No, it's a much better idea. It's like there's no middlemen, you know, somebody taking a piece of it.
Right, exactly.
But you have to track those people down. It's not that easy necessarily.
Well, yeah, you got to use somebody else. All right, well, we'll end it there. And I guess we will talk again next week.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. All
right, bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.